Episode 141 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded July 18th, 2017. Winter is here.
You're back.
I am back.
Welcome back, buddy.
I have brought the storm with me.
I mean, you went away for a month and a half, 2 months maybe, to South Africa, and then you dropped by for like half an episode here.
Just a little tease, which I don't even remember half of that. Like, I woke up the next morning and was like, how did I get home?
You seemed in a daze.
It's really weird because you think, oh, jet lag, it's being tired. No, it's like, you're wanting to go to the bathroom at weird times of the day. It's like feeling like you're allergic to sunlight, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, just like ready to clean house. It's a strange little thing.
Yeah.
Jet lag.
Waking. I never want to clean regardless of time of day. Yeah, not once. Hey, guys. Guess what we're discussing this week?
Friends from college.
Damn it, we are. Yeah. And it doesn't really fit in the title.
It does, because it's about the winter of the soul.
Okay, that works.
Yes. Cold-blooded.
Yes. But we're also talking about Snowfall on FX.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about this when we got to check it out at ATX Television Fest here.
But now it's regular running.
Yeah, and now it's two episodes in, so we're going to check back in, see how we're feeling. And Game of Thrones is back for its billionth season.
Yeah.
It's penultimate season.
Yes.
So we're all pretty excited about that. I think this is a show we're going to talk about week to week.
I think that's pretty likely, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a show the internet's going to be talking about week to week.
It's one of the last few water cooler shows.
It's true.
You know, NPR has a Game of Thrones chat show?
Of course.
I'm not going to plug it because they don't need our help.
No.
They should be plugging our show.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm
like, dang, when NPR's talking about it, we're in good company.
Is it all NPR voice? Or like, and I couldn't believe when Arya did that.
Yeah, that was a little bit too much. You know, it reminds me of this coffee shop down the street I like to go.
I think it's Peter Sagal from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Have you ever heard?
He sounds like one of the Sklar brothers.
Yeah. He totally does. All right. Anyway, we're the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Kyle.
And before we get into all of that, we want to say, if you guys like listening to this show, you want to help support us, or you just want to check out the extra bonus episodes that we do every single week, go over to patreon.com/TV Dudes. There you can make a per episode pledge. And that means, like, give us a dollar per episode that we release. That'll charge you like $4 a month usually. And in exchange, yeah, you get these bonus exclusive content. Last week we talked about Spider-Man Homecoming and how Randy hates it.
That's
just absolutely hated the
not
movie.
True.
Whoa, for real?
No, I just didn't love it, and that translates to hating it on the internet.
It does. That's exactly how it works.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what we're going to talk about this week, but maybe we'll talk. I suggest that we could discuss something tangentially related to the Doctor Who news.
Ooh.
But I don't know. We'll see what we come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's once again patreon.com/TV Dudes, and we appreciate all the support, especially Reality Punch Studios, who's our newest, latest patron. Thank you for joining and helping support us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We also want to say that if you guys are liking this show and you want more TV podcast goodness, well, guess what? We're part of a network.
What network are we part of?
I was going to hope you would say it.
Damn it. You got to set it up for us.
We're part of the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
There we go. If you guys don't have, this is your first episode listening, they do this every time. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of TV podcasts that all banded together, and we use the name Permanent Record, which is not really TV related, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool name. And go over to permanentrecord.com.
PermanentRCRD.com.
And this month we wanted to support the show Gilmored. It's a podcast by our friends Mike and Key. They talk about episodes of Gilmore Girls, and they go in depth talking about big breakout episodes and kind of doing a rewatch of a lot of the show.
Grant, what's your favorite part about Gilmore Girls?
Not having to have invested any time in it.
Kyle, have you seen Gilmore Girls?
I have never seen Gilmore Girls, but I've actually listened to this podcast. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Oh, there you go.
They are the right ones to do it, not us.
Most of the time, I listen to podcasts because I don't want to watch the show. I'd rather have somebody tell me about it.
There you go. I guess you can do that. PermanentRCRD.com/Gilmord. And if you guys like us on Facebook, then once a week, Randy posts a little bit of a question post on there. Hey, did you guys see the DuckTales image I made?
I did.
That was amazing.
It's great. Here's what I want to know.
Okay.
I'm looking at the image.
Uh-huh.
And you and Kyle and Les have sort of this. Kyle has this big enthusiastic hands in the air.
Uh-huh.
And you and Les look like smooth, cool dudes. And I look like the gay Uncle Duck.
I mean, yeah.
That was my question. That's all I had to say.
They didn't have the option for a goatee, a proper goatee. Yep. They had that beard, and I was like, that's kind of close.
I think you look kind of wise.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I looked wise.
I thought you looked jolly, but maybe the hands on the hips with the closed eyes is smug.
Smug, yeah, yeah.
You should have done Randy's signature wink.
I feel like everyone got captured here very well, but I don't think that reflects well on me. I think this looks very much like me, but I'm not sure what that says. Because look at Ashley Duck. She's like there with a clock. She's like this, explaining something.
Yeah.
Les and Grant are the smooth dudes. Kyle is the enthusiastic one, and I'm the one who's like, I know a lot about paladins. Like I say, it's not inaccurate.
I also have you facing the opposite way.
It just made me reflect a bit on my own life.
You're the rebel. You're the rebel of the group. That's cool. They didn't have cargo pockets on the store, so I couldn't add that little embellishment. Okay, let's go check out our questions over on Facebook. First one comes to us from Jonathan Haftemichael, who says, hi, dudes. What drama would you remake with a cast solely comprised of dogs?
I love this question.
Breaking Bark, featuring Walter Bite and Husky Pinkman making addictive milk bones, just screams money to me.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
First of all, I go right to Game of Bones. I don't know. Ned Bark. Of course.
And man.
Yeah.
That's so good. Are you just riffing right now?
I'm just riffing.
That's so amazing.
Oh, man. I feel like Cersei's got to be – there's got to be something for Cersei.
I don't know. This is
– Cersei Lhasa Apso.
Okay.
You could totally do this. And it's all about the dogs at different kennels. And they're trying to rule the
entire dog pound.
They're trying
to keep the fence up because they don't want any of the strays coming over the fence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But what are the White Walkers then?
Big, giant Alaskan Malamutes.
Oh, I mean, they're still dead dogs coming after them.
Wait, just zombie dogs.
Yeah. Zombie dogs.
And flying dogs, I guess? I don't know for the dragons, but...
That's a little trickier.
Well... I like this idea.
Workshop it.
You have a dog show.
I don't have a good pun for mine, which tough act to follow. Sex in the City with like poodles, or Entourage with nothing but bulldogs. I think both of those would improve those shows greatly.
Okay, I can totally see it.
I disagree with the all bulldogs thing though. I think Turtle's a bulldog, but I think Matt Dillon. What's his character's name?
Oh,
Johnny Drama. Johnny Drama's like a Great Dane. Like,
oh, that's a good
or
point.
Maybe a greyhound who used to be in racing, but now he just talks about he used to be in racing,
mm-hmm.
or barks about how it. I think
a big dumb greyhound.
Big dumb greyhound.
Yeah.
None of
them. He is like a little scrappy terrier.
Yeah, and I'm in the show now.
not that kind of terrier.
And Vince is, I don't know, what's a dumb pretty dog?
Golden Retriever.
Like a Golden Retriever or a Collie, yeah.
Yeah, he's like Mr. Peanut Butter.
Yes, yeah.
Did you do Ari Gold yet?
No, I don't know.
He would be a pug.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just pugs, though. He'd be like a fucking...
I like Ari. He's my favorite character.
Like a chow. I hate chows.
You don't like Ari?
I was bit by a chow once. I'm done with those dogs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Were you bit by Jeremy Piven as well?
It might have been
him. It does happen.
Would be a fun story.
I feel like Wilfred...
Yeah.
But have a human? Like a dog that's dressed as a human?
He's the only. Yes.
I got to say, it was before my time on TV Dudes. That is like one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Like, even when it got really crazy at the end, I stuck with it. But like the start of it, I really dug that show.
Oh, man. It was so bizarre.
It got weird.
The tone was so weird.
Yeah.
Even for the rest of the lineup on FX.
I was thinking that guy who played the dog, I'm like, oh, he's going to start getting casted in everything. No.
Didn't happen.
Didn't quite work out that way.
A Parks and Rec. That's more like Parks and More Parks. I could see just Andy definitely being a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Kyle Volte says, hey, TV dude, since Zach Braff is going to be in a TV show about podcasters this fall, Dreamcast and crew, the TV dude show, who would run your show and who would star in it and what network would you be on? Oh, shit.
I love this question. You guys are killing it on questions this week.
Yeah.
So first of all, it's comedy. It's got to be a comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I want Mike Schur. If we're doing comedy, I want Mike Schur.
Can we just get Mike Schur?
Yeah, let's have him
Hell,
here.
Yeah. We're doing our dream casting.
Yeah. Well, Mike Schur. Casting. Let's see.
I wouldn't mind Mitch Hurwitz.
Oh, yeah. Mitch Hurwitz would
Although
be
right. he's a bit of a gamble.
And he's hit or miss. Yeah, you never know.
I mean, Dan Harmon could be interesting with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Dan Harmon would be...
Our show's going to get canceled because he's difficult to work with.
Yeah, that's true.
But then it's going to come back because the fans are going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do you cast?
Oh.
Well, I know who I want for me. Yeah, and this is non-negotiable.
Okay.
Unknown. It's got to be an unknown.
Oh, it's got to be an unknown.
We need new talent. This is a crazy character we're bringing to life here.
Wait, you can't pick, like, a particular person?
Okay, I'll pick a real person. But if this was a real cast, I'd be like, we got unknowns. We got to scour the earth.
I mean, do we cast ourselves or do we cast each other?
We should probably cast each other, right?
I can't cast myself. I have no ideas.
Yeah.
See, that's the trick.
Who would I...
I would definitely, Randy, I'm just going to throw out dream casting.
Yep.
I'm going to go kind of in the Patton Oswalt range for you.
I can live with that.
Yeah. Or I had somebody
else.
Not
that short.
I know, but the thing is, you got to be like, well, larger than life, but in your case, shorter than life.
That's
you know?
True.
You're not short enough is the problem.
Yeah.
Like, we need to bring this character to life.
That's okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're working with Patton Oswalt as Randy.
As Randy.
Can I be Mac? Oh, wait, I can't cast myself.
No, oh, yeah, that, yeah.
I was thinking Always Sunny.
You can't just be Rob McElhenney.
But you can't be Rob McElhenney. You have to be Dennis. Who's Dennis?
Glenn Howerton?
Yes, Glenn Howerton is going to play you.
See, I think Charlie Day would make a great Grant.
Charlie Day would make a great Grant.
Again, he would amp you up to 11.
Yeah. He could do it. He could do it.
I could be Charlie Day. I can see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Ashley. Who's going to be Ashley?
Oh, man.
I mean, at times, like, her quirky kind of out there.
Yep.
Reactions to things. What I could, like, it fits the new girl Zoe Deschanel vibe.
I go two ways.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Schaal is one way you can go.
Mm, yeah.
Ooh.
And the other way you can go is the girl who just got cast as Squirrel Girl in New Warriors.
Melania.
Oh, yeah. I feel like she could pull off Ashley as well. That's two very different actresses, but I feel like one of those two could nail it.
Let's go with Kristen Schaal.
If we change the direction of the character, we make her a little older. Who's Nick Offerman's wife?
Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bring her in. She's kind of like now an old like anti-mentor type character now.
That's great. All right, Kyle. Who do we pick for Kyle here?
I don't know. We need someone taller.
Someone really fucking tall. And.
Ooh.
What do you got?
Really
you got?
Jolly.
Think about Veep.
Oh, Jonah. Jonah Ryan. Yep. Fuck yeah.
I know I can't help myself, but.
Yeah, no, that's totally great.
You could be Jonah.
It's so good.
People would definitely not like my character, though.
You could be the tall dude from Silicon Valley, too. I could be okay with that.
Yeah.
Grows a little facial hair.
Oh, T.J. Miller?
No.
Thomas Middleditch?
No.
Who are you talking about?
Tall guy.
Oh, Jared.
Jared.
Yes.
Oh, that would be that guy.
Yeah.
They're so hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see one of those. One of those is the way to go. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So for Les, I'm thinking we got to get somebody who's just jack ripped. Like, who's your boy from The Leftovers?
Justin Theroux?
Justin Theroux.
Done.
I feel like all we're doing is flattering Les on this podcast. I hope he's listening.
Yeah.
Justin Theroux,
This is how we find out if Les is listening. This was my plan all along.
We'll get Joel McHale to play him.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
He's like, yeah? Cool. All right, next. Let's just go to the next question.
Mike's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah. What's our network? It's going to be...
FXX.
FXX. Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah.
We're like one season on FX and then they move us to FX.
Yeah, yeah. There
Because we're too edgy.
Yeah. Zach McLaren says, so as the summer season enters its twilight with Game of Thrones return, We come closer to the Defenders and the restart of the CW superhero cycle.
I used to be excited about that. Now I'm depressed.
Yeah. However, as of 2017, it would seem that superhero TV may have reached a crossroads.
They have.
With the exception of Legion, most of the superhero TV shows have either stagnated after years of mixed performance, declined after a lack of good ideas, or have failed to even have a decent start. Superhero TV seems to be at a point that, unless they can truly deliver over the next season or two, networks may start to phase them out. Have superhero shows as a genre doomed themselves, or can this ailing genre recover?
It can recover because here's the thing. Iron Fist was terrible and it was the most watched Netflix show up to that point.
Yeah, but that just encourages them to meet that standard.
Yeah.
CBS is based on a model of good numbers.
Well, here's the question. Does he mean that he's talking about him phasing him out? I don't see them being phased out. It is a brand is sticking around. Becoming good again is another question. And I don't know. The weird thing is I'm still looking forward to Black Lightning. It still looks like a fun show. I think the issue may be that these shows don't sustain for a long time.
I'm just not looking forward to anything on CW now.
I saw that Black Lightning trailer when I was on my TV Dudes hiatus.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing I thought about was like the worst parts of Luke Cage where it got real cheesy towards the end.
Yeah.
And not because that's what's going to happen. I'm just scared, guys. I'm scared.
Yeah, well, you know that trailer was all that exists of Black Lightning, right? There's not actually a show yet.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that was a sizzle reel that they made for Fox.
Wow.
So it's going to be –
it's a different channel. They might do a whole different thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once
we have something to replace superhero television, which there's nothing out there looking like take the spot of – I mean YouTube maybe, but that doesn't really help the networks.
I mean HBO seems to be leaning into – some fantasy sci-fi genre stuff.
Nobody else can afford to do that like they can.
It's true. Yeah, they can't really even afford to do the superhero stuff properly, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they can recover. I think one of the problems is that for superheroes, it's something we've seen with Marvel Cinematic, and I think you saw with the TV, is that you need one guy who's sort of in charge. So it's Kevin Feige in the Marvel Universe, and it's Greg, oh man, I'm blanking on his name. The guy who's the sort of the guy who runs all
Greg Berlanti.
Greg Berlanti.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg Berlanti is the guy at DC, and I feel like unfortunately you can't stretch those guys too thin. And when he's basically overseeing like four shows, now he's not the showrunner, but he's the idea man. And when he's being asked to sort of kind of ride herd on four shows, it's going to hurt. And I think they probably need to pare back. I think they expanded too far and too fast, and that'll help.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that Marvel was going to fix things, and if Iron Fist turned out like solid, then I would have read the entire landscape differently.
Well,
Iron Fist was such a mark of their mediocrity, I think. Consistent mediocrity.
Look how great Inhumans looks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's doomed. I think what we need is more things like Legion. I think what we need is more creators taking a chance on the genre and doing something different with it. And I do think that given the success of Legion, we might see more of that.
Yeah.
We'll see. That's kind of what it needs to survive, is for more people to put out something like Legion that's not like the source material, but enough like it and interesting enough on its own merits that it holds together.
Ross Brown asks, with Game of Thrones slowly approaching the end, it seems HBO is counting on Westworld to be their next big thing. Do you think Westworld has the ability to be a huge cultural phenomenon with general audience the way Game of Thrones is?
No, I think it's more cerebral.
Yeah.
I think it's not. But it's not what they're counting on. They've got a couple big guns in development. They've got some new licenses that are coming up.
I don't think the Deuce is going to be a big
deal. No, the Deuce is a David Simon show. That's never going to be. That was never for the ratings. We talked about something last week or the week before that they'd signed on.
Well, they're doing Watchmen.
Watchmen. Watchmen is what they're counting on. And Watchmen could be that big. And it also could be the answer to the last question.
Yes.
Damon Lindelof's Watchmen could solve both of these problems.
Lindelof, we're all counting on you.
Is there nothing he can't do?
He's the best, guys. He is the best.
Let's wait and see.
All right, last question. Dennis McElwain says, I have been able to ignore Ed Sheeran until now. Has there ever been somebody you've been able to ignore until they popped up in a TV show you regularly watch? Bedpans on repeat are the best. Cocaine wine.
Cocaine wine.
Cocaine.
A real fan.
Here's the funny thing about Ed Sheeran. Until Sunday, I had no idea who he is, and I still wouldn't unless the internet had gotten mad about him.
Ed Sheeran is, yeah, he's on Game of Thrones. He pops up in a little cameo.
Yeah.
And he's this pop singer from England who looks like the goofiest goober that somehow is made into a sex icon.
He's like Ron Weasley's understudy.
So
I'm like, how is that guy a sex icon?
I had no idea. That scene with a scene, we'll talk about it later, but that scene, I didn't think, oh, this is weird. Why is this here? I thought this was making a point, and then later I found out it was like to put that they were doing that singer in, and I'm like, it didn't break the fourth wall for me. It didn't I'm like, oh, it's that guy. I was like, I don't know who that is. And so to me it was just another scene. So I feel like why would that bother you so much? I don't understand why this got everybody so up in arms.
I feel like he's just too notable a person that you can't just brush past it. You know, speaking of the question we got, like if had you known, like for me, I just like, oh, they put him in here. Why is he in here? What? It just kind of threw me off. Like, do you remember the movie Inglourious Bastards?
Yep.
Where Mike Myers shows up as a straight, like, general or whatever?
That didn't bother me either. I thought it was weird, but it
totally threw me off too, because I'm like, that's Mike Myers. I have a certain expectation of Mike Myers, and this isn't it. I did not like it.
I feel like that's a weird thing. Like it's not the weirdest thing to have a little cameo for somebody.
True.
You know what throws me off that writers do this is and again, it may speak to sort of where your knowledge is and the Daredevil, all the superhero guys are really bad about naming characters after people they know. So when there's a guy named Brubaker or there's a guy named Bendis, it throws me off because I know the real guys, and it's like, and that bothers me. But that's a writerly thing. The casting the actresses, I don't think I've ever had one of those where I'm like, oh, I'm thrown out. What's that guy doing?
I mean, sometimes comedies will have someone like do a short run, and I'm like, eh, I don't know. Like, The New Girl like had Megan Fox come and step in for Zooey Deschanel when she was like gone on maternity leave for part of the plot, and I was like, I don't know about her. It's just like she got too big in the movie spotlight and gossip spotlight that it's weird for her to just kind of like come back to a show like that.
I may just weirdly not be susceptible to this because I remember when Paris Hilton was on Veronica Mars. She was on an episode of Veronica Mars, and people were really mad about it. And I'm like, oh, is that who that was? And I know what Paris Hilton looks like, but it didn't register to me that she was there as a stunt cast. I mean, it's not known as stunt casting.
Have you guys ever, besides Mike Myers, like in TV, have you ever had a cameo where it just killed something for you?
No.
Because I'm having a lot of trouble thinking of one.
Well, I mean, in our TV show, when Pauly Shore just kind of drops by, it's going to be weird for people.
That's
a
Pauly Shore problem. That's
Bill Cosby drops into an episode
that's
of ours.
That's a big problem.
It's going to throw people off. It's an unnecessary cameo.
I don't think that the cameo was the problem. So, guys, we got a little bit of news this week.
All right.
We're going to save the bombshell for the end. Spoilers.
Literally.
But I want to start with this exciting headline from Screen Rant about the Russo brothers and Noah Hawley teaming up for a show on FX.
Ooh.
And now that I've gotten y'all excited about that, let's talk about how unexciting the actual story is.
Oh, what? Russo and Fargo guy?
So the Russos are doing too much stuff. This worries me. It's like what happened with Lord Miller. They're wrapping up Avengers Infinity War. They're going to make Avengers 4. They're going to D23. They're going to Comic-Con. They're executive producing Quantum and Woody from Valiant Comics on TV. They're bringing Little Nightmares to TV. They're attached to way too much stuff. And yet, they're going to executive produce, and it sounds like showrun, direct and produce the show, The Mastermind for FX. Noah Hawley's in there as a producer. Now, that probably doesn't mean he's heavily involved. It just is exciting to have both their names on the same project.
I think like he can advise, especially
on FX, given his...
Do you think they can do twice as much because there are two people?
Maybe.
Russo
I don't know.
Brothers. Like if it was just the Russo brother.
Like the Coen brothers don't do twice as much.
Good point.
Yeah, maybe they should. Maybe they got to keep up with the Wachowskis are going to just start doing tons of shit.
So, ooh, yeah. This is it's akin to Making a Murderer. It follows an investigation to a criminal kingpin. It was on the Atavist magazine. And it follows a programmer and drug kingpin across a number of adventures. He eventually turned drug informant for the DEA.
So wait, this is
it's true crime.
Okay,
it's this is weird, guys. I'm certainly curious, but that is weird.
Why are they doing it? I mean,
I don't know.
It sounds a little in the vein of Noah Hawley, Fargo-esque yeah. world. I don't know. Yeah, it's peculiar.
Maybe Noah Hawley watched season one of Legion, and he was like, I could do better on the action. I need to become friends with some guys who know action.
I'm annoyed by the name The Mastermind. That's a cool name for a show yeah. that they're going to put on a true crime thing.
Yeah, I'm a little tired of true crime already. I want fake crime.
That's your bread and butter.
I want fake crime.
Okay, you like crime. I'm sorry. You just are a big fan of crime.
I love crime.
Is that such a crime?
So The Walking Dead had a tragedy.
Yeah.
Their stuntman died, and so they've shut down production temporarily. But that's crazy. I don't know what the stunt was.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the details have come out
yeah.
about the incident, but... I just remember seeing, like, oh, they had to delay production because a guy got injured. And then I was like, no, that dude died.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, on a show about zombies, they do a bunch of crazy stunts on there. And some of these things get pretty brutal.
Okay. You know, I try not to talk bad about our Screen Rant and all these guys and how horrible as writers they are.
You don't have to point out who we're getting the news from.
Okay. I just got to point out, this is a very serious article about a stuntman who's near 10-year veteran, bad fall, brain injury, lost his life.
They did not end it on a pun.
They talk about it. The second to last paragraph is pretty good. They're talking about, you know, hey, he's not the first place to lose his life. Lost is heartbreaking. But if The Walking Dead continues to delay production, hundreds, if not thousands of crew members aren't able to work, and that wouldn't be fair to them either. It's a difficult situation all around. Good, interesting, solid analysis. Final paragraph. Sadness aside, by the time The Walking Dead Season 8 premieres in October, fans will have no doubt moved on and be ready for another round of zombie apocalypse action and dramatic human-on-human strife. All that war between Rick's side and Negan's side is coming, and when it does, no one on either side will be safe. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Wow!
You don't go into promo mode at the end of this article. What is wrong with you?
They hit a promo where they, after talking about a dude dying... Because of safety,
no one is safe.
No one will be safe.
What's wrong with you?
This is fucked up for one of two reasons. It could either be messed up because, yeah, they're just huge fans. So they wanted to like plug the show at the end. Or this could have come from the Walking Dead Fresh team.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Yeah.
So
like,
bad.
Oh, we got a tragedy. We better capitalize on this.
Oh, that's so much worse.
Oh, jeez. Well,
and it's probably the latter.
Oh, man.
What else do we have?
Okay. Netflix's Castlevania breaks the video game adaptation curse. Another Screen Rant.
Is this thumbing its nose at us, the TV dudes, for not liking this?
What they mention is that, and they're right, video game movies typically terrible and don't get good ratings. Castlevania has a 91% score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is crazy because it's not that good, but...
I mean, who still uses Rotten Tomatoes? I guess people are still...
I use Rotten Tomatoes for movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You actually like to read up on something?
No, I use the aggregate score.
Do you ever add to it?
No.
Have you guys ever ate a literal Rotten Tomato?
No, it sounds terrible.
Oh, my gosh. I did it on accident. It's the worst thing ever. They look just like real tomatoes, and they taste like just acid and... piss and
that reminds me of the Castlevania
show. Oh no, you'll never think about Rotten Tomatoes the same way. So they're 91%
looks
fresh.
Good, not good. Oh man, all right, what's all right. The last one?
Okay, I don't know if you guys have heard about this. Nobody's really talking about it, but they cast new Doctor Who. And
oh, cool. Who is he?
It's a girl.
Who is
is he?
Jodie Whittaker is officially the new Doctor, and I'm excited for a couple reasons. One is, of course, there's been a lot of call for a female Doctor for a while, and I think it's going to be a different voice on the show. They're also bringing on a different showrunner.
Yeah, a new showrunner is – I mean, I don't watch the show, so my criticism doesn't matter too much.
But the interesting thing is the showrunner they're bringing on is Chibnall. What's his first name? Chris Chibnall, who ran Broadchurch.
Okay.
Which is where Jodie Whittaker was. She played the grieving mom. Mm-hmm. So she's amazing. That show was great. Mm-hmm. And it has a different energy than Doctor Who. So I am super excited to go back and catch Doctor Who after being off for a few seasons.
It's going to be such a sad season of Doctor Who. If it's based off of Broadchurch. That was just tragedy porn.
I think Doctor Who sometimes it's the best when it gets kind of scary.
Yeah.
Or when the Doctor scares his companions in like a real way. So I look at this. I look at her being cast and I'm like, is she going to get scary?
From what I saw on the internet, they announced this and everyone was just like, oh, cool.
Yeah, people were super excited about it.
Everyone's really supportive.
Yeah.
There's no issues.
Everybody loves it. No complaints.
Guys, our viewers have the internet. Our listeners, they have the internet.
Oh. They know we're lying?
They know.
What is wrong with people losing their minds over this?
So here's the funny thing. I have you as you may know, I have a bit of a bubble developed in my Facebook. So everyone was posting about how excited they were, and everyone was posting like immediately defensive, sort of like, I can't wait for all the crying man tears and all this kind of stuff. And that was what I was getting. I was like, oh man, you guys, let's not define ourselves by what makes other people mad. Like that's what got the Republican Party in trouble. Like we shouldn't just be enjoying this because it's making other people mad. And I was going to post this like, you know, let's all come together. Kumbaya. Let's accept these people.
I felt like
we were maybe like going in the wrong direction. Okay. And then I saw like two comments on other people's walls from those guys. And I'm like, oh, right. Fuck those guys.
I don't understand what would be the problem. I mean, this character's gone through so many different iterations and types of people, different ages. They're doctors, all dudes. Whatever.
Doctors have to have penises, Grant.
Why? Isn't it like an asexual alien being?
Yes. No, all doctors, not just the Doctor Who. All doctors must have penises. I think that's the rule, isn't it?
Oh.
There was actually an episode, one of Matt Smith's episodes, where he's talking about old time lords, and he's like, oh, she was a nasty girl, sometimes a nasty boy, too, or something like that, kind of implying that time lords can be transvestites.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, they've already done this. The master has already become Missy, and of course, a lot of the guys are like – the funniest thing is no one will just own up and say – I just don't like girls being doctors, or I don't want a girl in my sci-fi show. They've all got to be like, what? There's already lots of female characters. They've got all the companions and Missy. This just seems like he's always been a man. Why can't he be a man? No one can just outright admit that it makes them uncomfortable for whatever reason. I love that Piers Morgan, that douchebag on Fox.
That guy has nothing of value to add to society.
He tweeted out like, he's like, what an insult to the non-gender binary community. I'm like, first of all, you don't give a fuck about the non-gender binary community.
He's just a troll.
And second of all, you don't give a fuck about Doctor Who. What is wrong? Why do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, fuck anyone who had a problem with
it. It's really stupid. It's the stupidest thing. Like, there have been 13 doctors now. We can have one of them be a woman. It's going to be okay.
Now, wasn't it supposed to be that there were only going to be 13 regenerations before it wasn't Doctor Who, but then something changed? Does that have to do with the gender changing?
Moffat, no. I think Moffat walked that back like before Capaldi came on.
Okay.
Yeah, he had already done
technically
something.
Added another one in there, so she's kind of the 14th,
yeah.
Depending on
who you talk
to. There's
the War Doctor or whatever. Yeah.
There's the War Doctor.
No one knows like what era that War Doctor comes from.
They did something to change that rule. They always do.
Yeah. Essentially, he's before the new Christopher Eccleston show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's from that time.
And it was John Hurt.
Yeah.
Who just recently passed.
Yeah.
So I guess we're not seeing the War Doctor anymore.
No, unless they do it in CGI.
Well, that would fit with the show and its garbage CGI. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll be right back. All right, so first we're going to be talking about Friends from College, which just dropped on Netflix. Then we're going to hit Snowfall over on FX. And, of course, wrap things up with Game of Thrones.
We're going to have spoilers on Game of Thrones, right?
We're going to go spoilers on everything. So
okay, good.
Everyone be aware, there will be spoilers for these
things. Strap in.
We might spoil Friends from College for you.
I'm fine with you guys spoiling the rest of Friends from College for me.
We may have to spoil that one just so we can finish the discussion.
Man, people hated this show.
I understand the hate.
Okay, so I'm one of those people who did not enjoy this. This is a new show that features Keegan-Michael Key and
Kobe Smulders, Nat Faxon, Fred Savage, Billy Eichner, Seth Rogen appears, Kate McKinnon shows up in an episode. This is such a tremendous waste of a talented cast.
Yeah. And it's about a bunch of friends from college that meet back up in New York. But there's Keegan-Michael Key, his character, and what's her name?
Sam.
Sam, Annie Parise. They've been hooking up, like having an affair for like
long
the
distance.
Past 20 years,
yep.
Since college, even though each of them have gotten married since then.
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of the cold open to the show.
Right.
And that was my introduction to the characters that, oh, they've both been cheating on their spouses since before then. Are these the people that were supposed to, like, I don't know, it was kind of like a cute little goofy hookup at the beginning, and then once yeah. they kind of established that, I'm like, oh, you guys are kind of scummy people.
But I think that was the point, is that they were – basically none of them are happy. She's not happy in her marriage. He's not happy in his. None of them – they've all got problems, and they've sort of been papering over it. And then when they all come back together as friends, it was sort of about this sort of being a dysfunctional group, that they've always been dysfunctional.
This show, it's trying to be light casual. It's like, yeah, you know, executives yeah. saw that, okay, we need a version of this.
Yeah.
But then it took too many notes from It's Always Sunny. So we're in casual, we're introduced to these characters, they're victims of something, okay?
Yeah.
So when they're shitty at the end of the season, we kind of, we're a little forgiving because, well, they're victims, they're hurt. Here, these guys are just their own worst
privileged
enemy,
motherfuckers.
Just
yeah.
straight out the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have anyone to root for initially with the two leads. And then when we meet their friends, I'm just like, eh, they're okay. Billy Eichner playing against type
yeah.
for him
yeah.
was kind of amusing as being that. Like this straight guy who just doesn't – well, I mean, he's gay.
He's gay, but he's not the crazy – he's the crazy actor.
Yeah, he doesn't really have any sense of humor, or if he does, mm-hmm. it's really bland and dry.
So, oh, I'm bummed you missed. There was an episode later in the season where he goes wine tasting with all of them.
The wine tasting is the best episode.
Yeah.
By far, because it's when they get to the most ridiculous.
Do you like the Seth Rogen episode?
I did, but Seth Rogen is a little Seth Rogen goes a long way, and that was too much Seth Rogen.
I don't know. I thought because I was kind of bored with some of the rest of it when he yeah. came on, I was at least like, all right, the dog. Oh, oh.
I didn't hate this, and I know that I should because it's not good. But you know how sometimes you go to McDonald's in like the middle of the night and you're really hungry and it's like you get a quarter pounder and it's like the best burger you've had?
Yeah, but this isn't McDonald's either.
No, but that's what this is. That is like occasionally you get something that is not good, but for some reason it hits you better than it actually is. That's what this did. They call it Friends from College. It has a lot in common with Friends in that they're a bunch of narcissistic privileged people and you shouldn't feel sorry for any of them.
The inconvenient truth about this show is that it's not offensive, but it's going to offend people.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Like, when you watch it, you're like, oh, this is kind of harmless. And the way they end the series, it doesn't justify some of their bad behavior at the beginning, but at least everybody's on the level playing field.
Yeah.
Oh, it reveals that everyone's scummy?
Well,
pretty much.
They become scummy throughout the course of the show.
Yeah.
It, you know, these kind of shows, this reminds me of – what was the Duplass Brothers –
Togetherness?
Not Togetherness. Didn't like they work on this one that was like a series of
– The Room something.
Different, not Room 104 either. Maybe it's not the Duplass Brothers.
I don't think it's
but
Duplass
there was this
Brothers.
Other one. There was a threesome with Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, you're thinking of – not Love.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking of that one that was a different sex – the anthology. Yeah.
Yeah, that anthology show. It kind of reminds me of that, like this little peek into – what if you could have this voyeuristic peek into your friend's life? Like, I don't give a shit. I don't want to be like watching this trashy gossip thing about my friends. That's not the kind of storytelling that I really enjoy as much.
Yeah.
And it also had this kind of blasé attitude toward everything that reminded me of Flaked, also on Netflix with Will Arnett, where it's these kind of people bumbling through life who all their problems seem kind of trivial, and they all of their other problems are a product of them not communicating, and just like it was such an absurd extent. Like every problem that Keegan-Michael Key made for himself because he wasn't talking about certain things, it just kept steamrolling. And even when the writers have Sam acknowledge that that's part of his character, that he just makes this trouble for himself.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, fuck you, writers. You're just being lazy and then also acknowledging your laziness with that writing, that little dialogue there.
I think there were two things for me. One is that this cast has an immense amount of charisma, although no chemistry. We talked about this a little off mic, that there's no chemistry between any of them, except for Keegan-Michael Key and Fred Savage, who later on have great chemistry when they're like hanging out together. But in general, this is a bunch of people playing solo in the midst of a band.
Fred Savage was actually pretty good.
I was getting ready to say, out of everything in this, I don't know if he was my favorite, but I definitely love it when you can take somebody who is so typically typecast and like forget about anything else they did and just like buy the character they're selling.
But the thing for me is the feature, not a bug here, is that I didn't give a shit about any of these characters, so I didn't give a shit about any of their problems. So I can enjoy the occasional amusing moments because I didn't care if one of them was sleeping with the other or the marriage was going to be ruined, because none of it felt real to me.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this. This is going to sound like a tangent. I promise this is related. Nip Tuck. When they made – spoilers on Nip Tuck if you haven't seen it.
Yep. I think you're good. I think you're good.
When they had that season where you find out the partner sleeping with the main guy's wife, did that turn you off from the show at all?
I'm not
– they brought this like big infidelity element into it?
I remember, but I think I was turned off probably before that.
Okay.
I guess infidelity in fiction doesn't particularly bother me.
All right.
It's not a thing that sets me off.
I think it's going to set some people off. I know my girlfriend real quick was like, turn this off.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I mean, it just generally annoys me. It's such an easy drama like element to kind of pull on for the audience.
Yeah.
And I generally think it speaks to a character that has other problems that I'm just not going to root for them.
Yeah.
And you make a villain, are you going to try and win me over with this person? And is it just still in this mundane, cold New York world? I don't care. I don't care about any of these fucking people.
Yeah, like I say, the not caring helped me because it was a stupid comedy and there was things where I liked
comedy?
In all of it.
It wasn't even that funny.
No.
Well, here's the thing. I think Keegan-Michael Key, with roles like this, he needs to figure out, is he going to be serious or is he going to try to be funny?
Because
he still wanted to get those like laugh out loud moments, like the tennis match. I'm sure you saw that where they're grunting noises.
Yeah.
You know, he still wants to go over the top to get the laugh for those, but then he wants people to buy him as being in these serious situations and other scenes. And I think he hasn't found a balance yet.
No, I agree. Yeah, but like I say, there's no one should watch this. It's not good, but I didn't hate it.
I'm not going to finish it. Let's go talk about Snowfall. So in the first episode, we saw the beginning of the cocaine boom in South LA.
Yep.
Or Southern California. And we've been able to check out the second episode now as well. And things are kind of intensifying, I guess. Or like people are moving in the direction where – what's our main dude's name?
Franklin.
Franklin. He's establishing himself. I kind of like the relationship between him and the eccentric drug.
Avi. Man, Avi's one of my favorite characters already. He's such a great like bad guy. He's clearly crazy, but yet he's also like very aware that he's crazy.
And when Teddy goes and like talks to him, has that like face to face of like, I don't want to do business with you because you're a lunatic. He's like, no, I'm eccentric. and then he suddenly gets like really like chill and he's like, okay, I'm sorry. Let's try and have a mature conversation.
I think that the thing that makes this interesting to me is that the whole ensemble's good. Mm-hmm. Like there's several different stories going on. The stuff with the cartel and with Oso the is he the wrestler? Is Oso
El Oso the bear.
His whole storyline is really interesting to me. And then with the two siblings, and then we meet their families later in the show.
They're cousins, right?
They're cousins, yeah. And their whole thing, that whole thing with the cartel really interests me. And I'm like, that's another side. And then the thing with the CIA guy trying to run a drug operation, like every aspect of this is interesting to me. And I think that's – it's almost like you wouldn't even need it because the stuff with Franklin and his family is fascinating enough that you could have done the whole show just based on them.
Yeah. This definitely likes having a whole bunch of different threads kind of pull at. It really reminds me of The Bridge.
Yeah.
In part because it's both drugs and it's got stylistic choices that just feel within the FX family.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's parts of this that I kind of watch. It also feels a little bit like The Americans, and I guess there's a style to FX shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like a show that I do not want to watch week to week. I want to wait until this is done and then binge through it.
That makes sense. I worry that it's going to be like The Bridge. It's going to be a show that's really good but doesn't hold my attention.
Yeah. Mm. There's parts of it where I'm like, oh, there's really cool setup here. But in a way, I wish there was a little bit more absurd drama, I guess, to it. Because sometimes it feels a little slow.
Yeah, I can see that.
This is only episode two.
I'm really enjoying it, but yeah, I don't know long-term if I'll stick with it.
It's definitely a show that I think I could drop and not really care too much about.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not that it's a bad show. It's actually a really good show.
Yeah.
It's just that we're in the era of peak TV.
It doesn't have that final little push of intrigue factor for me.
Yeah.
So
the hook.
Yeah. I need more of a hook. But a show that has all hook. Holy shit. Game of Thrones returns with Dragonstone in season 7. And that cold open, dude.
Yeah, let's talk about that cold open.
I mean, when you first saw it, did you guys think it was a flashback?
No.
For about 2 seconds, I thought it was a flashback.
It was like 2 seconds, and then I was like,
I might have been a little more gullible, where I'm like, oh, what are they doing with the timeline here?
I mean, I figured it out before anything happened, but like it was right around when he started saying like to pour the wine, because I thought, okay, this is like some flashback scene. They haven't done flashbacks, really.
And that's why I didn't think they'd be doing it. I know what the point would be to go back and do this flashback. And they had just showed us in the previously on Arya cutting his throat.
Yeah.
And so that was fresh in my mind. And I'm like, that's Arya.
I mean, that completely made sense. I just thought, oh, maybe this is a flashback to show that she also poisoned all of his dudes because she was going around pouring, because she was in one of those costumes earlier.
Right, sure. Mm-hmm.
So I thought she was one of the hand servants, like, pouring all the wine. And then I was like, oh, shit, no, she's actually
him. Yeah. No, I tweaked to it early, but that did not lose any of the impact of the scene.
Oh, everything it was so great. Good.
The actor slowly turning into Arya, like basically slowly saying more and more things to make them all feel uncomfortable.
What a great like final scene for him to get
to crack a smirk too. Yeah, like, because the character did nothing like that the whole season. Great performance on his part.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I know I'm supposed to feel bad that Arya's turned into this cold-blooded killer.
Hell no. I love it.
But, I mean, you know, she's lost her soul. She's become a mass murderer at this point.
Bad people.
But they deserved it.
She's a vigilante. She's the Punisher, and we still root for the Punisher.
I loved it.
I have a mini Arya theory for next week.
Yeah.
So we talked earlier about the Ed Sheeran cameo.
Yeah.
I think HBO did this on purpose because they knew everybody would be like, Ed Sheeran, and then freak out just so Arya can kill him next week. And then HBO can be the hero because they killed Ed Sheeran.
I honestly, that whole scene, I thought that was a setup to show her killing a bunch of innocent soldiers. I thought the reason they were spending all – I didn't know anything about Ed Sheeran. I thought the whole thing was, look at these guys. They're out here in the field. They're talking about their kids, and she's watching their weapons. And I thought any minute now, she's going to murder all of them.
Why would you think she would kill them, though? I mean,
because they're Lannisters.
But they obviously don't really care about the Lannisters. Right. They're just foot soldiers. Like, her killing Frey and all of his men, I don't know, maybe she is going to kill him.
I thought she was, yeah.
But she could be completely fucking ruthless, and that's like what we got with the Freys. But I thought she was killing all the leader noblemen of the military of the Freys.
Oh, the Freys?
Not like the little foot soldiers.
I don't know. That was a lot of people in that room.
Yeah, it was good, like 30, 40, but I feel like probably the head captains or whatever.
The North remembers, Grant.
That's a good point.
The North remembers.
I mean, her just being a complete mass murderer is fascinating.
Yeah.
And when she says, oh, yeah, I'm going to kill the Cersei. Queen.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. She tells them that means she was prepared to kill them.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Her saying that to them means that she didn't know they were going to laugh that off. She could have thought they were going to go for their weapons. She could have been testing them. And if they got for the weapons, she was prepared to kill them.
You know what's going to happen is, well, what could happen throughout the season, we see incidents like this where she encounters these people.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the season, there's a big reveal where we find out, oh, no, she's been killing all these people all along. Like,
yeah, something like
kind of like with the carved horse last season where he found out the Red Woman had, like, killed the princess.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be finding out she's much more of a monster than maybe she lets the other Starks know at first.
I think that's possible.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense that she'd kill them as well.
Yeah.
Overall, that scene was like the weakest part, but like we talked about earlier in the questions and comments, seeing Ed Sheeran threw me off a little, and then just like tonally, it felt weird with like all the heightened drama of everything else for this kind of look at like the innocent good old boys that are just kind of part of the army and got caught up in something. I don't know.
You know what I think is interesting is that Arya's development could be a mirror to what's going on with the Hound. The Hound is getting less cruel and more and sort of they cross paths and she's on the downslide and becoming more cruel and ruthless, and he's becoming slightly more human, worrying about this father and daughter that he didn't really condemn them to death. I mean, he was right. They were going to die. He took their food and maybe sped them along, but he didn't kill them. They were going to die. But he feels bad about this.
Yeah. It's very interesting seeing his turn of character.
Yeah.
And how he's – I love how he calls bullshit on all those people. Like,
yeah.
Dondarrion, you've always been a fucking dullard. Just so mean to everyone. Yeah. Like, he may have softened in his view of ruthless killing.
Yes.
But he still has the best dickish line.
Yes. He's still not the guy you want to be on a road trip with.
Yeah. He's just kind of like, man, you're such an asshole.
Cersei is interesting. Because I thought – you know, she's always lived for her children and her family, and now it seems like she's gone to the place of the, well, fuck you all.
I mean,
that's what she's – like, you would think this would break her a little bit, but it broke her in a different way than I expected.
I think she still cares for Jaime, but –
there's an element of feeling like she does – like, he's if he's in her way, she would kill him in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not get the sense that she's like, the two of us are going to build a, you know, we're going to build a thing for us and we'll restart and that kind of thing. It was more of a, here's what we're doing. Get on board or I'll kill you too.
I like the idea that she has no, like, there's so many enemies at every side of her.
Yeah.
But she still has a couple tricks up her sleeve and aligning with the Greyjoys.
Yeah.
And their Iron Fleet is pretty fascinating.
You know, we haven't seen. Maybe Joffrey, but like on the show, we haven't seen any of the kings really go the way of the Mad King.
Yeah.
Like just total. And I feel like this show promises like somebody who would go even worse than that, you know?
I can see that.
Repeat of history kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, she just murdered a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The Sept.
Yeah.
That.
The other thing I think is interesting is flashing over to Sansa and seeing that she developed a sort of grudging respect for Cersei, which is interesting because I have the same thing. Cersei's a terrible person, but she's a strong woman in a very tough world for a woman. And I love the character even as I love to hate her.
You know who else she respected? Ramsay Bolton last season when she went to go get the Knights of the Vale. Like she tried to tell her brother, it's like, you won't win. Like, trust me, if you
maybe
can't underestimate him.
Maybe the Stark girls are a little fucked up.
Yeah. They've had fucked up things happen to them.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, respect where respect is due for the ruthlessness.
Yeah.
And we saw once again that Jon Snow is naive. He has a natural leadership that like makes people loyal to him. But when she's pointing out like, hey, you need to punish those who went against us, not just out of that duty to punish them, but also because the people that stuck by you need to see that.
You know what I thought was interesting was having her actually call out, be smarter than our father. Be smarter than your brother.
Like, that was great.
Because I know people have been yelling about that, about how dumb Ned Stark is, how dumb Robb Stark was throughout this. And Jon Snow's cut from the same cloth. He's the noble hero, and that doesn't end well in this world. So to have a Sansa who says, look, we see what happens when you do pure nobility. You have to be a little ruthless.
And, you know, to his credit, the trivialities of
of and pettiness of men won't matter if all of them are gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And if keeping the Karstarks is able to get all of the Karstarks and keeping all the Umbers is able to get all of the Umbers on board for more people fighting on the wall, he might have a bigger picture kind of point.
Yeah. That's the thing is I also think that he was wrong about being a little, you know, a little too on the noble side, but she was wrong to be undercutting him in front of the men.
Yeah, and I mean, he doesn't have as good a knack for the gameplay, but it's clear that she's getting there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they tried to communicate this, but I think where she undercuts him and he like still stands up for himself, I think that said more than if he would have changed his position because – so like even though she did make him look bad for a moment, she gave him this opportunity to show
– to exert his authority.
My word is final, yeah.
To show that, that he's not just a puppet of the Starks. That he's his own man. Yeah, I think that's true. I also – I love the kids on this show. Like not just the girl from Bear Island because that girl's amazing.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
But like the two kids, the Karstark and the Umber who pledged to him.
Yeah,
those are great performances.
I loved when he called really them good. By their first names.
Yeah, that was really good. I liked it.
Do you guys think that they're trying to hint at a relationship between Sansa and Snow?
I don't think so.
Part of me thought like there's the sort of like. Semi-incestuous aspect of it that they're a-okay with in this world, but they're not actually blood relatives, and that sort of alliance would keep them both in there, and she could be that sort of balancing force to him in his naivety.
Well, the interesting thing is going to be if he – I was assuming that Jon Snow and Daenerys are going to have some kind of relationship, that they're going to wind up being the king and queen of this world.
Yeah, but like he's so fucking boring that I bet she wouldn't even like – she'd be like, whatever, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I need an actual man. I was with Khal Drogo. Mm-hmm.
speaking of men, it was interesting to see her boy all scaly in the Meisters.
Jorah.
Yeah.
So he's jailed up there, and now that he's going to be back, I guess, hanging with Tarly.
Yep.
Everyone keeps running into each
other. Thankfully, that Westerosi Express just, you know, got him quickly across the globe there.
That montage sequence with Tarly the shitty bowls and then the shitty food there.
That was gross and so good.
Yeah, it just kept making me squirm.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Ugh.
I was like, oh,
But also, this is so well shot.
Yeah, the blending the food being poured out with the bedpans being poured out was, I don't know what mad, disgusting genius came up with that, but that was great. And also, like, vomit-inducing almost. It was really gross.
Yeah, it was pretty foul.
They did a great job of showing, basically, like, this is his drudgery. This is his day in and day out. Yeah.
I liked his interaction with Jim Broadbent, which is great to see that actor as well. But that he has someone who like believes in him, but he still needs to kind of take the initiative to break some rules if he actually wants to get something done for the people on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, the other oh shit for moment for me. I mean, the first was Arya.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was watching this by myself and I was still like, oh shit, I can't believe, you know, it's like really reacting. The next one was when they showed the White Walkers and they panned to the back and one the giant is now a White Walker.
Mm-hmm.
That's
There's
bad.
A bunch of giants there.
That's bad.
Yeah. And I think the fact that this was a theory and I'm not sure if this is spoilery, if it ends up bearing any fruit, but the idea that we now see Bran pass the wall.
Yeah.
And if he was touched with a curse that made it that they could go wherever he went, like how once he went into that tree, they were able to raid that tree and burn it down.
Right.
Yeah.
If he broke the curse of the wall, that magic element that was also keeping them out.
And that Benjen told us.
Then we might see this wall falling pretty soon.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to see that this season.
Because they keep really harping on this. I mean, we know this wall's got to fall, right?
Yeah.
But they keep like saying, look, we're fine. There's a wall. That wall's never fallen.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. And
but it'd be funny to find out the wall ain't shit. It's really the magic that keeps them out.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's been theorized. I think that's probably true. Also, Daenerys arriving in Westeros was such a great scene. And they talked – did you guys watch the after show thing that they do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I love that they talked about like that there's no dialogue, that Tyrion doesn't even talk. They sort of – they let her have the moment. And I think that's a real credit to Emilia Clarke. Like that moment where she's like gets down and touches the sand, you know exactly what she's feeling and thinking.
Yeah.
Like this is her homeland. She never thought she'd see it again, certainly not as a conqueror. And I thought that that was a really powerful scene. I really liked it.
Two of the big things for me on the show now, this is end of last season, beginning of this season, Daenerys's theme and the theme for the dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Takes my breath away every time. The same with Cersei's theme, the one they played when she blew up the Red Keep last season. Uh-huh. And I may have heard a little bit of it at the beginning. That thing with like the sweeping violins. Yeah. I mean, it's just like Hans Zimmer-ish, like hair standing on end. Yeah. Just amazing music.
The other element I keep thinking about, and this is jumping back to the Starks, mm-hmm. but Littlefinger is still like floating around, and they make him seem almost just kind of this annoying like puppy dog falling at Sansa's feet.
Yeah.
And we know that he's so much more manipulative and a player than they're trying to, I don't know, they're trying to make him seem impotent right now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that guy's fucking dangerous.
Every time he shows up, I get nervous. If Jon Stark knew half of what we knew, he would have that guy quietly shanked.
Yeah.
Because that's the best move. That's the move with that guy.
Here's the thing. This next episode, they, you know, in this little clip that we have teasing the next episode, you know they're going to start talking about Daenerys and making that move to Dragonstone.
Yeah.
The second Viserys comes back in the equation, he knows everything Littlefinger did.
Yeah.
That's he knows about him essentially being the guy responsible for Ned Stark's death.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens at that point?
Yeah. I'm thinking that at some point Sansa's going to kill Littlefinger. She's got to get to see the truth of what he's done and that kind of thing.
I could totally see Viserys, like, keeping the secret from them.
Yeah.
Viserys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Viserys. I could totally see him keeping the secret to keep the peace amongst his allies.
Yeah.
You know, like, making it a point they can't find out.
Yeah. One other little moment that I really loved was, it's been so long, I've forgotten the character's name, the big, tall swordswoman. Brienne.
Yeah.
The dude, the smile of that actor has when he's looking at her, the sort of smitten and goggle, and she doesn't know what to think. She's very uncomfortable with it. Like, that whole thing cracks me up.
I mean, come on. Give the audience what they want.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't think it's that Brienne is, like, uninterested. I think she's just like, what does this guy want from me? No man's ever expressed interest in her in that way.
Yeah. I think it's,
and she's like, what does he want?
That yeah. She's uncomfortable with anyone looking at her in sort of a sexual way.
Since yeah.
She's generally ridiculed.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That is my ship. That is my OTP, as the kids say. I love those two together, and I hope that it's not a typical Game of Thrones tragedy between the two of them.
So I imagine we will somehow see Jorah taking Sam to Dragonstone, and they might be a conduit for talking to the Wall up north.
Yeah,
I don't know. Possible. I mean, I also would figure that we need to see the sand snakes pop up and bore the fuck out of us.
maybe Cersei can just blow them all up.
Where do you guys think Euron Greyjoy is going? What pride?
I thought he was going to go. I figured he was going to go try and get Tyrion. And
that's what I figured
back.
Too. I think he's going for Tyrion.
So here's my theory. I think that they're going to wrap Jon Snow's storyline with the Daenerys' storyline. So Euron Greyjoy, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes south and he gets the head of one of the Sand Snakes.
Maybe.
Because she hasn't gotten revenge for her daughter yet.
That's true. It's true.
So yeah, one of them. And they just made an alliance with the Roses. What are they?
The Tarleys.
Yeah, Tarleys.
No, Tarleys.
Starts with T.
Tyrells?
Tyrells. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like.
And don't the Tyrells have the grain? And that's the whole thing. Uh-huh. You need to feed an army. So they either need to go and make alliance or steal, you know, take over the.
Yeah, grain. I don't know. I am super. I saw a couple people saying things along the lines of this was a peace moving episode, but I disagree. I thought this was a great check in.
I usually find their first episodes are a little slow because we have to find out where everyone is.
Yeah.
But no, they pushed the action on everything.
Yeah.
Except for the second Arya scene, which was at the campfire. Which I mean, once Kyle mentioned that there's something more nefarious going on there, I think that's a lot more interesting to me again.
I thought this was a fantastic episode back.
We only have 7 episodes this season.
I know.
That's really sad.
Was there anybody this episode that we didn't get to check in on?
Yeah, we haven't seen it depends on how important you think Lady Tyrell is. We didn't see her.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And I do like that character a lot. And I feel like there was somebody else.
Lady Tyrell?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I feel like there was a notable absence. We didn't really see much of Brienne and Podrick. We saw one quick training scene. There was just a check-in.
The Bran one was pretty brief.
Pretty quick. Although that might have been the most poignant part of the whole episode.
Oh, the Lady in Red. And the smuggler, whose name I'm blanking on. Those are the two we didn't see.
The smuggler.
Melisandre and...
Onion Knight.
Yeah, the Onion Knight. Those two we didn't see except in the flashback to last week. Those are the only two that I really notably missed. Wow. But that's a pretty good strike rate for the first episode back.
But he... Where is the Onion Knight? Isn't he with the little bear girl?
Is he?
When they were all talking?
I don't remember seeing him.
Mm. I don't remember now either.
But we didn't see anything with him, and I don't remember where Melisandre is anymore.
And we didn't see Rickon. Where's poor Rickon?
I have some bad news about Rickon.
Oh, no.
He did not serpentine.
Okay, guys. Well, we will be back, of course, next week talking more Game of Thrones. And thank you guys for checking out this episode. Let us know what you guys think in the comments of this. What do you think of Ed Sheeran? Was he, like, the best thing ever? Let us know why there should never be a lady Doctor Who.
Who would you cast as the TV dudes?
Who would you? That's actually one that
And who would you cast if it was the gender-bent TV dudes?
I was getting ready to say, would they be upset if we were all cast as ladies and one dude?
No, I don't think so.
Well, if we're talking gender-bending in our Patreon, we might actually have to address that ourselves as well.
We might.
So, hey, if you guys haven't gone over to Patreon to help support us, patreon.com/TV dudes. And until next week,
TV dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.